The morning rush is just starting now, and so are our illustrious heroes, Humble and Fred, gathering around the microphones here in the legendary Humble and Fred Studio and Aquatic Center. This Olympic-sized pool and studio is equipped with change rooms, snack bar, and resting area. And while you enjoy a quick dip in the pool, you're invited to listen to Humble and Fred.
Pull your head out of your a-hole. Humble and Fred Radio.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Paytm, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now, from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Spoken, well said.
Most of all, someone said you love.
I had a conversation with the Fred man yesterday. He was, I would say, in the last 2 months of his post-prostate shaving, the most uncomfortable I've heard him was yesterday. And the Fred man is now suffering from a urinary tract infection. And as his physician, I advise that he stay at home. So, filling in for the ailing Mr. Patterson, please welcome to our microphones once again. Having just made his Humble and Fred podcast, you know, terrestrial radio, first appearance in, I guess, 17 years or 15 years, whatever it was. So he's back. Lou Skies is everybody.
Woo! Yeah.
Lou.
Well, thank you very much, Howard. It's great to be here once again. And, you know, love seeing you develop new talent with Phil here in the room.
Oh, thank you, Lou.
Last night I was watching, or yesterday afternoon I think it was, I was watching TV, and there was Jeff Marek, one of your alumni.
Yes, another another participant in the Humble and Fred finishing school.
Yes, you know, and, you know, there are so many out there that you've, you know, brought into the industry, including me. And, you know, all I can say is thanks. You know, well, if not for them, at least for myself.
Thank you, Lou Skies. Thank you for being a friend.
Hey, it's the only way to get through this experience,
I
man.
Know, man. You know, it's funny you bring up Jeff Marek. Jeff Marek was, I think he was, because in those early days of radio, we had like 19 people working on the show. I think we had we might have had two news people. I think we had a top hour news guy. And then we had Marek doing the half hours. Like, it was insane, the number of people that used to work in this business.
Yeah, it's true. I remember Sandra Plagakis.
That's right.
Right, when you were over at the Edge.
We were at the Edge. So, so something happened. I remember going to our boss, Stu Myers, and this is true. And I said to him, Stu, I've never used this word before. Please, I'm begging you to give us Marek. Because there was going to be some shuffling there, and I'm not sure I got down on my hands and knees, but I said, please, Stu, let us have that
because
kid.
You can tell what talent is. Ah. That's what I'm saying with Phil.
Phil!
You know?
Phil!
You know, enthusiasm, talent, yes. Passion, these are the things that drive careers.
Exactly. Anyway, Marek turned out to be Marek. He's a great kid. You, on the other hand, sir, are you're a legend. You're an economist. You're a broadcaster.
Educator.
You were at, where were you for years?
I was at Sheridan.
Sheridan?
Sheridan in their business school, teaching economics and finance.
I dropped into one of your classes over there.
That's
it was fantastic.
Right. That's right.
The children, the young minds you've
shaped, formed,
yes,
influenced. You know, yes. I'm going to a wedding of a former student on Saturday.
Nice.
Ricky is getting married to the love of his life. He invited me. I'm going to be there for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And this would be somebody in their 20s, early
30s. 30s now.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's funny.
Goes fast.
About a month ago, I was invited to a wedding of a young person that I'm friends with. There's a whole cohort of sort of 25 to 35 year old golfers that I compete with and I've gotten to be friends with. And, you know, I went to it's funny at our age, the reason I bring it up is that you don't really get invited to a lot of peer weddings.
No, that cycle is
done. That cycle's done. You know, it's mostly like grandchildren's brisses and funerals. But it was interesting for me. I went with girlfriend Rachel to go to a wedding of somebody you're friends with, a younger person. It was a great experience.
Well, I can tell you that one of the things that I realized over the course of a lifetime is that if I didn't develop friendships with people younger than me, you know, when Madeline, my daughter, you know, was maybe looking for an angle on something,
mm-hmm.
the only people would be like you and me saying, well, she can come and mow the lawn, you know. No, that's I'm looking right. for a gig for, you know, I want to help her get where she wants to go. So, you know, having all these young people in your life is enriching, number one. And, you know, it opens up visibility to things you may ignore.
100%. You know, I've spent the last... Now, this is year three of the return to stand-up, and it's the same thing with those kids. Like, I regularly spend time with, in the summer, you know, younger golf people, and in the wintertime, you know, funny people on the make, you know, 25 to 35 to 45-year-olds. And most people our age don't have that experience anymore. It's mostly... You know, can you come in? No, I've got a doctor's appointment.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think that if you want to have a dynamic life, look intergenerationally, right?
Yes.
Look at getting that long tail on
yes.
your life. You know, especially if you're, you know, at all interested in things that you don't have time to look at anymore.
Well, I've even gone beyond that. I have an interspecies relationship.
With Stan?
With Stan. And I can tell you right now, like when you walked in here a while ago, that reception you received from Stan is the reason you have dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, Stan got excited to see you. We were excited to see you. Develop interspecies relationships,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I'm so busy raising my species, Madeline.
Yeah, I know.
You know, she's leaned on me.
Well, you've
for
got a 15. She's only 15.
She's 15.
Right.
That's right. But, you know, over the years, right, I mean, she's an only child or our only child. And, you know, she's been leaning on me for a pet forever.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to buy her off. So she comes to me, Daddy, and she's crying, and I want a dog, and I, you know, I'd really love to have a dog, and I'm tormented because I'm the one, you know, working out of the house, and I would be the one to take care of the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want that job because I was already taking care of a human and everything else that comes through my doorway, right? So I bought her off. So I started negotiating with Madeline. I said, well, Madeline, how about I give you $200? You know, and I'll
well,
just.
Hold on a second. I mean, she comes to your office and said, listen, I won't get you a dog, but here's a couple of Crispies.
Yeah, well, she said no. Yeah, well, I came, you know,
did
I thought.
Did she say no? Give me another offer?
I did the research and I said, you know, maybe there's a shorter lived species that I can get. Because a dog can, you know, you can have him for 20 years.
Can
right?
live, well, yeah, 15 years if you're lucky.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, so, you know, but I'm not willing to make that kind of commitment of my
so
time.
You bought her off with a shorter. Like you searched,
no,
researched short-lived species.
That's right. To see if I could get out of that mix in a shorter period
Here's
of time.
A beetle. It'll be dead in 24 hours.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You know, yesterday I was looking out the window in my kitchen, and there was a snail stuck to the window.
Yes.
And I said, what is going on? Maybe it's like, you know, this is warmth, right, coming through the pane of glass, and this is how it's going to survive the winter. And I was shocked that some snails will live for like 10 years. So, you know, are you talking about a beetle?
Okay.
Nah, maybe not. Maybe it'll be around a lot longer than you would want.
So what did you buy her off with?
So I came to the realization that, you know, I looked at guinea pigs. Right? And I said, oh, no. Oh, no. Because once I did the research, and by the way, if you go to certain countries in Latin America or South America, you might see the guinea pig on a plate.
I was going to say, it's a delicacy.
Cuyé. I said, no, okay. But
I can't get her something that could be eaten by mistake.
Perfect for the grill.
So, exactly. So I looked at it, but they're like, you have to have two of them. Right? Because
what,
they're social.
Pigs, oh, I see.
You know, they're social. They need.
God forbid, yeah.
Right? And then if they get out, they chew up all your wires and everything for whatever reason.
So what did you settle on?
So I realized that I'm not a rancher and I'm not a into animal husbandry and all that stuff. But I said, well, I'll negotiate, right? I'm a capitalist. Let me offer her money. So I started at two. No, daddy. I got her up to four. No, daddy. I said, what is wrong with this offer?
What is your price?
Right. Well, I found out that there was no value that she could attach to money. And I was up to $600 at this point, Howard.
Tell you what, $600 you can take Stan out the door.
give me $6.
Yeah, but then I'd have to take care of him.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. So we're up to $600, and I say to myself, you know what? She's not seeing the value. And then I translated it, and I said, you know, $600, Madeline, represents six American Girl dolls, which she was fascinated with.
Oh yeah.
And all of a sudden, she said, no. I said, I'll give you seven. That's seven American Girl dolls. No, I'm up to eight. And she's still saying no. I say nine. 900 smacks, right? And she's saying no. And you know what I said to her? I said, honey, this is my last offer. And I go to walk away, and she said, wait a minute, daddy. Ding. She was ready to close. I closed her. She shook hands. I made her sign a Maddie Daddy contract and gave her a $100 bonus to round it up to $1,000 for the rights to have pets in my home.
Well, that's, you know what? First of all, awesome story. Secondly, you saved yourself thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
You have no idea. Like, I figured out the other day, I don't even know what he's cost me. But it's certainly more than $1,000.
Yes.
Annually. Now, what has she done with her money? Has she invested it?
It's working for her. But the more important thing was, years later, she came back and said, I'll buy that because I made her sign a contract, a Maddie Daddy contract, assigning me the rights to pet ownership. Mm-hmm. She wanted to buy it back for the same amount of money. And I had to teach her. I said, no, the rights to pet ownership in my home now cost $1 million.
Oh, yeah. So you've set the price beyond what she can afford.
Right. Because I don't want to close that deal. Well, for a million, I would.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who Lou Skeezes is, that's who Lou Skeezes is. He's doing deals with his daughter. 1-833-437-8465 is not only the number to call and say hello to Lou, but also to text. Somebody just text us a question. Happy capitalism, it starts with. Does Skeezes get to keep that saying, or is it owned by his former corporate overlords? That comes from Jeff K. in Ottawa.
In Ottawa?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Jeff, I own the trademark to Happy Capitalism because I created it, and well, I went to a lawyer and captured it. Right.
Well, here's the thing I would say. Jeff, if you didn't know the answer to that question before the dog story, we don't think he has Happy Capitalism.
He's got a non-compete agreement.
Did you? There you go. Look at Phil. Once in a while.
Bada boom.
Phil comes in. Crazy rich Asians. Did you start saying that when you were on Report on Business TV?
No.
Or was that a mojo?
No.
It was before that.
Yeah, so I'm living in Calgary. I've opened up a comedy club with my partner, Rick Babcock. Now, before we were a comedy club, Beggar's Banquet, we were a restaurant. And the National Energy Program came. And all of our assumptions about market demand and growth and all that were worth nothing. Okay, we had to scramble. I was never more creative. I was never more passionate because I had money in the deal and I had to get the money out. And I used to look over at Rick and say, happy capitalism, as we were getting our cans kicked up the Stephen Avenue Mall in Calgary. And I said, you know what? It cuts two ways. I mean, my implication with happy capitalism, you know, we all go in there with these big, you know, yeah, baby, it's going to be a big score. And then sometimes the reality comes in. You got to pivot to something that's going to save your bacon. Yeah. So that's where that came from.
So it was an ideal. It was something you lived through. That was around. Did I know you when you were Beggar's Banquet? I think
yeah.
I met you.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember doing your comedy club. Because
yeah,
I was doing Yuck
Yucks
in Calgary.
That was coming to the end of the experience.
When we met.
Yeah, when I met you, I was getting out of that deal.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to suck you into something that, you know, like the vortex that you may not have enjoyed if I wasn't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we both know I've been sucked into my own vortexes several times. You know, like, I've done okay investment-wise, and I've done okay. Certainly, the retirement SHRP has helped. But over my lifetime, I've invested in capital projects and side deals and ventures on my own, and I've lost money. And
But look how enriched your life
is. What I was going to say is, you know, lots of times you look, people will, you know, focus on what has failed. But I look at it sometimes and I think, okay, what did I learn from all of that? I was going to say it would be cool to have some of that money back, but it was a great experience, some of the losses that I dumped. Plus, I would say this. Investing in ideas is one thing. Investing in pyramid schemes, I'd stay away from that.
Yeah. When was the last pyramid you got in?
A while ago.
A while ago, yeah. You know, I was introduced to the concept of a pyramid scheme.
Now, to be clear, by the way, I'm talking about a pure, like, I'm not talking about multi-level marketing.
That
I've done
a pyramid.
I know. But at least multi-level marketing, in my experience, and I have some experience in it, I've done it a couple times where... if you are moving product, at least there's a tangible sales element. I'm talking about pure pyramid schemes as they relate to money. I've done that.
But are you a contemporary of Bernie Madoff? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
But when I was a younger man, I did it once in Vancouver, once in Calgary, where I got into a pyramid scheme for money. It's one thing if, and here's the thing, don't do it, but if you ever do it, you've got to get in early.
Yeah, so I'm in
university. People that get in early get their money out.
Yeah, so I'm in university, and this guy knocks on the door that I know socially, and he's got a pyramid gig for booze, right? So, you know, you give the guy at the top of the pyramid so many bottles of scotch or whatever it is, and I looked at it, and I said, mathematically, it doesn't work. He says, what do you mean? Of course it works. And I said, no, it's based on an ever-expanding pyramid of contributors. I said, it's mathematically impossible. I studied math to grade 17, you know what I mean, through high school, university, graduate school. I know something about, you know, geometric growth, right? So I looked at it, and I took a blank piece of paper, and I put my head on the top, my name on the top of the paper, and I made another line. I said, you put your name there and give me 12 bottles of booze right now. And he looked at me and said, that's not how it works. I said, no, that's exactly how
exactly
how it works.
My advice always was to people when I get asked once in a while, should I get into this scheme? Mm-hmm. I say, well, unless you're starting it, no. unless you're the tip of the pyramid, because as it, and by the way, again, there are lots of multi-level marketing ventures that are successful. But when it's a pure exchange of money,
well, it's the same thing, though, right?
Oh, like, absolutely. But you got to be at the top.
Yeah, but you know, if you're going to get into multi-level marketing, which I never advocate, it really presumes that you have excellent sales skills, right?
And if I may interject, the other thing it presumes is that you don't mind being a douchebag to all your friends.
Yeah.
You really have to be willing, and that's what most people fail at it, is you have to be willing to, you know, work your warm line, which is basically annoy family and friends to buy your soap or whatever the cream or the protein supplement.
Diet system.
Right. So, I always look at those and say, if you're going to depend on your family and friends to build a business, abandon hope.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how much business you do right now with your family and friends, and you would say, my God, I'd starve. I couldn't feed Stan with the money they give me. So why would you go out there and do it? And there are many, many models just like it. And I always say, be careful that you're just not recruiting to your family and friends for someone else's benefit and not yours.
Well, that's usually how it works.
Yeah.
That is it. You know, people talk about successful MLMs. You know, some of the more famous ones through history are like Amway, and then there's the vitamins, and then most recently there's a company called Isagenix.
Yes. I don't know them, but...
Well, you know, and how it's built is, it's sort of built in a way that is, you have to be able to go to your family and friends and say, hey, buy my protein shakes.
Right.
And then you presume that one of them will get interested. You know, it's the 80-20 rule, you know, to 80% of your your churn comes from 20% of the people you know. But my problem was, and this goes back to ex-wife Randy, she had a friend. And,
she had a friend.
This is years ago. We moved to Toronto. This is when I first started working with Fred, and she was selling water filters.
I remember that.
The water filter scheme.
You tried to sell it to me, and
I
said, no.
I
said, and you kept telling me it'll take the chlorine out of your water. And I said, no, I'm happy with my water with the chlorine. No, Lou, you don't understand.
So I buy $5,000 worth of water filters.
What? How many do you have left?
I had them for years. 5,000, whatever that was, I had 20 of them, whatever it was. And I had to go and do this demo. I went to his place. I went to Fred's place. I sold 2 water filters, 1 to myself. And can you guess which friend of mine bought the other?
Oh, that's a good question. It
you
wasn't
know
me.
Him. We all know him.
Fred?
No. Fred.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Fred and Lou would be the last guys to buy the water filter.
Because I like chlorine in my water.
Exactly. Lou was like, Lou, I had my whole spiel. I had the testing kit. He's like, Howard, I love chlorine. Can you get me a filter that gives me extra chlorine? The only person to buy a filter from me was our boy Dan.
Oh,
sweet Dan. I think they were like $300. Mm-hmm. This was before everyone was buying. It made sense. The point is, so after I sold a total of 2, I had these filters in my basement for years to come. Because as I said, and my ex and I used to laugh about it, is because we just couldn't pull off the sales pitch. Hi, we happen to be in your neighborhood. Would you like us to demonstrate our water filters? I'm not that guy.
Well, you're busy too, right? I mean,
yeah, I was
doing
a show.
Right.
And...
Well, that, you know, is, you know, people think that, you know, what you do here on Humble and Fred Radio and Funny 820 is, 2 hours. No, it's all consuming. I can see it. I get here in the middle of the night trying to, avoid the skunks in your neighborhood. And, you're banging away, looking. What? You're looking
no,
at
No, I'm
like,
just laughing because of the skunks. I am,
skunk paranoid, and I'll tell you why. Father's Day comes around. Linda, my wife and daughter, Madeline, give me a Fitbit.
Yeah.
So, my schedule was all about using time, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm up in the middle of the night anyway, so I'd go get some steps in until I run into, skunks everywhere, right? They're nocturnal animals. I
sure.
Said, imagine the horror of Stinky Daddy coming home.
Did you get skunked?
No. But I know how horrible the smell is.
Anyway, you were saying about coming here in the middle of the night, we're banging away.
Right. So it's
I got
a full
no time,
time
for filter sales.
I know.
I got none of that time.
Yeah, there's that. And, I think that if you look at the model, if we have time, I can explain to you MLM.
Well, I'll tell you what we got to do. We just got started. This is Lou Skeezes. He's filling in for Fred. We got about 120 seconds before we take our first break. Can you do it in 60 seconds?
MLMs are all driven by people in transition. So people have lost their jobs, they're hoping to get something going, mm-hmm. and then somebody puts a hook in them and gives them a bunch of water filters. Right? And they cough.
Yes, theoretically, yes.
and skin some cash out
yes,
of
yes, $5,000, whatever.
So it's all about transition. And so you have to be aware that you could be vulnerable, like
yes.
me right now, in transition from what I was doing before. I could be a target for somebody with a pitch. However, having fouled off a ton of those over a lifetime, I'm not really that susceptible.
Well, there you have it. Lou Skeezes, Happy Capitalism is here, at Lou Skeezes on Twitter. And here's how you spell it, S-C-H-I-Z-A-S. Last time you were here, I was sort of scrambling around. All of a sudden, I saw your name on our social media. I'm like, guys, that isn't even close.
Well, no, it was close enough.
Well, a couple of them were close.
Yeah.
I think I saw I think I saw S-K-I-Z-Z.
Anyway, so close.
Skeezes is here. We're going to talk some weed. We're getting ready to last a legal day. And I'm not 100% sure how comfortable Louie Boy is going to be discussing past associations, but let's talk about the future. Our community, I got to make sure I get this right, because she is, it's a great, the community manager and patient liaison director of Strain Print, our friends that put people together with great relief strainprint.ca. She's going to join us after 8 o'clock Eastern. It's Humble and Fred Radio on Funny 820 and at humbleandfredradio.com.
Wild gambler, that's all in the past.
Of unicorn, just done with a nice sauce, you know? Oh, it's really tasty.
The legendary Humble and Fred Radio, Canada's national morning show.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody's
king. 1-833-437-8465. 1-833-HF-STINK. You have no idea how many days, even weeks, we spent trying to get fart into a phone number. I always wonder, on those days, Phil, when we were having the 1-800-FART phone call discussions, and we'd be sitting around here brainstorming, I thought, what are real grown-ups doing today? What is the vice president of a company? Lou Skies is in for Fred. Look at Lou. Look Woo! At him.
All right. Glad to be here. Fun abounds.
This program is baked to fresh every day, brought to you by some very fine folks. Phil, what about Spearhead Brewing Company?
Yes, Spearhead Brewing Company, located in Kingston, makes its award-winning Hawaiian Pale Ale all year round. This bold 6% West Coast Pale Ale is brewed Hawaiian style with pineapple. It is naturally carbonated, unfiltered, dry hopped to provide a delicate carbonation and complex flavor. This perfectly imbalanced pale ale has a fresh, citrusy character with hints of tropical fruit, zest, and pine, and a refreshingly dry finish. You know, Spearhead Brewing, the good old pineapple folks.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Well done. Interesting to hear a man talk about beer who's never had one. Have you ever had a beer?
Well, obviously, yes. And I've had a Spearhead, actually.
Have you really?
Yeah, I took one home. The Hawaiian Pale Ale.
Like, when you go home on the weekends, are you just, like, doing, like, what do they call that, where you take your... You pierce the beer and then just shoot it into your mouth. Is that what is that called?
Shotgun.
I would love that. I'd love that idea of Phil all buttoned down here and everything, and then he goes home and he's just shotgunning Spearheads.
What's that?
Phil, maybe tomorrow when marijuana is legal, maybe you'll shotgun a Spearhead for us. I'll tell you what, if you want great information, Tim Niblett's your guy. He's a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. And some market volatility there at the end of last week. How has the market been this week?
The market has been moving sideways, trying to find a new bottom to move up ahead. But, you know, I've been getting a lot of calls, Humble, about market activity, people holding on to their portfolios. What should I do? And I always say, go to a pro. I'll give you my opinion, but I can't do anything for you.
That's right. Well, there you are. And here's the thing. Skeezes knows more than all of us, and then some. And even he's saying, make sure you use a guy like Tim Niblett. You know, a lot of people, and Tim talked about this recently. You know, unless you're... You used to be. Were you ever a designated broker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a chartered investment manager.
There you go. Okay. So unless you're
and a fellow of the Canadian Securities Institute,
unless you're a fellow or fellow woman, I don't see gender. Unless you have that designation after your name, make sure you get someone like Tim Niblett to figure out this stuff for you, because that's not your thing. My thing is losing money in pyramid schemes. And Tim's thing is making sure I keep it. Sean, Come on over and say hi to Lou Skeezes, for God's sake.
Hey, Sean. Good to see you. Sarge.
The legendary Lou. Hello. Hello, everybody.
This is my favorite part where Sean comes in and he presents a story and I ask him. My favorite is I'll say, hey, Sean, what's your story? He'll give us like a couple of lines and I'll ask him a follow-up question and I get nothing. But this one, I'm pretty sure we can all help
Jump
Sean.
On?
Exactly. Sean, the headline is...
I don't have this one for today, but you wanted me to talk about this because this is great.
The naked guy.
Yeah, the naked guy.
You don't have this today?
I just kind of assumed we're going to talk about it. But
all right. Well, the headline is the guy swims naked.
Yeah. Jumped into the Ripley's Aquarium twice.
Where was security?
Well, here's the thing. Security, if you look at the video, it's stunning. The guy, the security guy is getting him to get out of the aquarium pool, and the guy starts to get out of the pool, and he just goes, nope! And he dives back in.
So this was during Friday night. They have jazz nights or something like that every... Okay. Once or twice a month. I don't know how often.
That isn't even important.
No, it's not even.
That detail?
It's kind of funny, though.
That they had jazz? Yeah, well, every 2 weeks they have a jazz night. And they had all these people having cocktails and soft music playing in the background.
Diana Krall.
And then
romantic.
All of a sudden, this dude comes over, takes off all his clothes. And this video has gone around the world. Buck naked and dives into swim with the sharks.
Stingrays below him. Everything. Just swimming away. And he's
so are these like sharks that have been declawed, detoothed, you know? I mean,
no.
You would think, or I guess they were well fed, right?
Yeah, they're meant for...
I mean, here's meat.
They're meant for the natural sea and ocean conditions. They're not meant to be in captivity. So these are your average shark, average stingray.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I think everyone would think of is why didn't they attack him? And maybe because aquarium sharks are kind of like,
I'm going to get fed. You know, lunch
it's a lot of work. No, seriously, the sharks are kind of like, hey, there's a dude in the water. Should we eat him? And the other guy's like, we're going to get
we're
like a half an hour away from nice.
We're going to get some penguins.
If we eat him, then we got to pull him apart.
Human sashimi.
It's so much work.
So another part
they're
of this story.
Lazy ass sharks in the aquarium.
Oh, totally. Another part to this story, though, even better, is, well, adding to the story, there was an update this morning. He assaulted a guy outside of Medieval Times. He got kicked out of Medieval Times around 8 p.m. that night, and that was before he ended up going to jump in Ripley's Aquarium.
Okay, just hold that. Okay.
Now, he's from Nelson, B.C., right?
Oh, I've got just this morning as I was looking, the update is his name is David Weaver. And I love how this reportedly took a swim Friday with deadly sharks. Reportedly.
Allegedly.
But let's just break this down a bit. He goes to Medieval Times. Now, if you can't have a good time there, you know, like what? And by the way, the show couldn't have, it must have just started. He gets into a fist fight, an altercation with somebody. He's like, and then thinks, okay, now what can I do?
Oh, wait, sorry. He got kicked out of the show for being belligerently drunk and then went back, tried to get back in, broke two glass doors or something outside of Medieval Times and assaulted a guy having a smoke outside. It wasn't even inside the Medieval Times that all this happened.
So he's thinking, okay, I got kicked out of Medieval Times. The exhibition isn't on. What should I do? Now I could go to the CN Tower or I could go to the... He went to the aquarium on a strip where there's more than, you know, there's a few people milling about on a Friday night. And do they know if he paid to get into the aquarium? He must have.
I don't have that detail, but it's just, how do you get even on the deck of the aquarium? Because, like, that's fully blocked off access, doors, staff only, keypad access. You just find somebody with a door cracked open just a little bit and manage to... Oh, there's the water. Let's hop in.
the fact that he's from Nelson, B.C., I've been to Nelson. Anybody else been to Nelson?
I have,
The queen city of the Kootenays. That's a wild tribe that populates that space, okay? Everybody I know from Nelson, believe me, that behavior, he would be like the minister on Sunday.
That's right.
Okay?
Turns out he's the mayor of Nelson, B.C.
It's the last valley of the hippie chick. And believe me, you know, legalized marijuana came to Nelson
years ago. This is, I love the CBC witness says, the guy seemed totally relaxed and there were sharks like everywhere. Yeah, because it was a shark tank. He appeared to be totally nude and like laughing. Because he's from Nelson, B.C., and they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I have a shark. I live with a shark. So that's good, Sean.
Good, off the bucket list, for sure.
Self-medicated, I would say.
The story that I did want to have Sean present is, it's one of those things that, you know, there's a lot to want for when it comes to social media. And then there's some things that have, you know, that are breakthroughs for people. For instance, this particular story.
This particular story is the decline of Tony the Tiger on Twitter.
Yeah. Tony the Tiger was being harassed. He's a tiger, you know.
And, I know Tony.
Yeah, Tony's
a tiger. I grew up with him.
Exactly, we all did. He's great.
So a little over 2 years ago on the Twitter page, fans were of the Twitter Real Tony Tiger, at Real Tony Tiger, were noticing that in the comment section below what he was saying.
That's right.
Got a little bit
sexy.
Sexy.
Got sexy.
Horny and there were excessive.
Guys, explain, there's a group of guys, I'm assuming they're guys.
Yes.
Women are way beyond this crap. There's a group of men that identify, they call themselves furries.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Trend. We all have.
So there, it's a mascot oriented.
Yeah, they get aroused.
Costumes.
By.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know the furry movement.
Yeah.
You know, they're not out there in City Hall complaining about anything. They just want somebody to fur with.
They just want to rub up against furry things.
Well, they
carpets,
made it,
I think.
They
carpets.
Made it pretty evident on this page that they really liked Tony the Tiger.
Loved him.
They really
fantasized
wanted
about him.
Many things frosted and all the daddy jokes you can come up with.
They wanted many things frosted.
Not just.
So they shut down Tony the Tiger's Twitter account because it was being overrun with furries.
And this is just in the last 2 months. Yeah. It's kind of...
The reason I said that about social media is, you know, and I've used this example before, years ago when Uncle Lou and I were young men, you know, and there might be a man, and it was always a guy, usually a white guy. There was a guy in your neighborhood that, you know, had odd behavior. Oh, that's just Sam. You know, he likes to dress like a baby, you know, or one of those things. You know, one of those, there was always the creepy guy in the neighborhood. And you just didn't think much about it. But see, with the internet and the age of social media, that guy can show up at the convention center and there's 800 other men mm-hmm. dressed like babies.
Yeah.
So the furry community might have been in the closet for a long time. But they're out now. And they're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not offended by it. I mean, you know, what you do when I'm not around is none of my business.
Absolutely.
Right? As long as it's with consenting adults, everybody has signed off. You know, the requirement now that you have a release. Oh, you'd like to get involved with me in some way? Here, sign the release.
Yeah.
That way my lawyer can say, well, I've got a release here. You it said says it here was that, okay.
It says here that you wanted to breastfeed, you 58-year-old man. Do you have anything else? Are there other details?
Well, that's pretty much everything. I was going to get into some actual Twitter.
Give me a couple. Go ahead.
They're pretty well. You frost my flakes, right. Daddy. Of
remember,
course.
Remember, we're on terrestrial.
Of course,
radio
I got to keep it safe. You know?
You make me whole wheat again.
Oh, it's
Phil. Phil's just Phil's like
he's released.
he's like become this Asian Jewish joke writer. That you'll make me whole wheat. go ahead, what's your name again, Sean?
Sarge!
Well, a lot of them got deleted, but it was... Oh.
Just give me one.
Fill me up with your frosted flakes. Tony, right. Please put your whiskers in my... There was a lot goodness. Of...
Okay.
You know, got a little racy, but, so they had to delete them. But.
Thank you, and when what this has given us is given us a discussion, and you're right, you know, like, if whatever you need... To get aroused, excited, whatever your thing is, it doesn't involve me or my family or my dog. Yeah. Like, I don't want to come in here one morning and you, Phil and Stan are locked in some kind of weird...
It's love.
69 thing going on. I mean, unless Stan agrees... But, yeah, it really has...
That's why you have to have the release form.
The computing machine really has opened up a whole world to connect with others...
Of similar ilk.
Of similar proclivities.
Yeah. I'm not offended by that. Like I said,
I'm not either.
You know, as long as nobody's getting hurt and is consenting adults, I think, you know, fill your boots. But, you know, what you do when I'm not around is none of my business unless you make it my business.
Right.
Right? I may not like your action if it's in my space, in my face. You know what I'm saying?
I was doing Yuck Yucks on Saturday night with one of my favorite comics, a guy named Tim Steeves. And he's a guy who wrote for the Rick Mercer Report, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, years and years. One of the head writers. Very, very funny guy. And he's talking about getting a bit older, you know, he's a couple years younger than us, but still mid-50s, early 50s.
Oh, he's a baby.
Yes, his joke. He said, I'm so lazy now, I don't want to leave the house, you know, because if I leave the house and I... He says, when you're in your own home and you lose your phone, it's just a couple of, I was at the fridge, I went over here. Right. He said, I'm so lazy now. I do kind of a reverse Peeping Tom thing where I basically just stay in my house and play with myself as people walk by. But, you know, whatever you're doing in your own home, that's your business.
Yeah. Now, I would say that you'd want to have at least, you know, one of those little, what do they call it, cafe curtains?
Sure.
You know?
Well, no, he's not standing. He's not standing there full on. He said, he says, all you see is my head in the window. Just anyway. Speaking of Yuck Yucks, I'll be there again Saturday night. Friday night, I'll be in, Hockley Valley.
Wow. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy.
Out of town.
Thursday night, I was going to be opening up for Derek Sagan at the Rose Theater in Brampton. That show has now been sadly canceled. I know. And tomorrow, I'm going to be on something called... It's from a company called the Midas Letter Media Corp. Yeah. And I'm doing a show. This guy does it. His name is James West. And I'm going to be on his online sort of interview program tomorrow, talking weed at 10:30 Eastern time.
It's a financial.
Yeah, it's a financial thing. But he, for some reason, asked me to come on and talk about the cannabis, you know, and an area that I've certainly been studying my whole life.
Well, you know, I tell you a story about cannabis derivatives. You know, one of my friends, her mother, in her 80s, you know, was, you know, ambulatory, getting around on her own. Knee gives out on her. She's on a cane, and she starts taking hemp oil, throws the cane away.
Yeah.
Wow.
My sister had a big, you know, those big black braces on her knee, and she had a hitch in her gait and all that. And I said, what's the matter? Oh, my knee. I said, well, you know, Linda's mother did okay with this. Try it. She threw the brace away. So, you know, the science and the molecules coming out of that plant could be incredibly beneficial.
Well, that's what we always talk about with our friends at strainprint.ca. We're going to speak to Ashley in a couple minutes' time, but it's interesting you say that because, you know, there's a perception, and I think it's ill-gotten in terms of that tomorrow, all of a sudden, it says everyone's going to be lighting up spliffs. No one's smoking. Somebody called it doobies the other day. I said, no one's smoking doobies anymore. I said, the real revolution of the cannabis legalization isn't getting high. It's that.
It's the science.
It's the science of cannabinoids. It's the science of CBD. It's the way it interacts with your natural natural healing molecules. And the revolution is going to be when you walk into a Shopper's Drug Mart sometime in the next 6 months, and there's going to be a whole section of what you're talking about. CBD tinctures, salves, salves, balms, and oils that will have no THC associated with them.
No get high.
Because the real big, the pharmaceutical big play here is that. It's not because we can all get weed. It's that kind of extracting the therapeutic benefits. That's for the real revolution.
Yeah, absolutely, Howard. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been in a room with a doctor who, you know, they tell you this, that, and the other thing about your health. And then you ask them, you know, how should we proceed? And they give you the shrug. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I can give you painkillers. I don't want painkillers. Mm-hmm. I want some kind of resolution of this issue. So what I've always said is when modern medicine abandons you, you've got to look for alternatives. Right, you cannot live in pain or discomfort, you know, ad nauseum because they've run out of the tools. You know, go to the medicine man. Well, get some herbs.
You know, the thing is, and there's been an organic, there's been a vitamin, you know, this thing is, there's lots and lots of people that homeopathically have been treating sort of traditional maladies with non-traditional medicine. That ship is out there already.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole cohort of people that are used to using alternative medicines. But I think what's going to happen with cannabinoids and cannabis, I think what you're going to see is a group of baby boomers and, you know, sort of Gen Xers like me that are going to start looking for alternatives in that space. And unlike some, you know, one of those things you always hear, you know, the on satellite radio, you'll hear a lot of ads for, you know, vitamin therapy type base. Yeah. And they always have that... what's the disclaimer saying? You know, this has not been
evaluated by the FDA.
Thank you. It's not been evaluated. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, there's, if you go to StrainPrint, there are so many stories of people just that, all those stories. You know, I had inflammation on my knee. Nothing was working. And I took this, and it brought the inflammation down.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking for.
That's what we're looking
for. We're looking for solutions.
Exactly.
I'm not looking for verification.
You know,
if it works, I don't care why it works, as long as it's not giving me, like, you know, abscesses on my liver, right? And, you know, when you look at pharmaceutical products, and you ever look at the side effects of some of those pharmaceuticals, If that were ever to visit upon you at your home, some of those side effects, you'd pray to get something else going.
Well, so far I haven't seen any disclaimers for cannabis products that include anal leakage.
It's always one of my favorites.
I know. It's the one. I just scan everything my doctor gives me, and if I see any anal or leakage anywhere, I'm like, I'll suffer. I'm like, it's going to be sitting around all of a sudden start to seep.
And, you know, your social calendar evaporates, with one leak at a dinner party.
Where's Lou and Howard? They have some leakage. They had to leave.
He's got to be at home.
All right. Well, listen, Sean, good job, young man.
Thank you.
When you were looking at this sector from a financial viewpoint in the last couple of years, did you hop on?
2016, I did a deep dive on all the marijuana stocks that I could find. And at that time, Canopy Growth, I'm talking 2016, June, July, $2.70. Now, it has rocketed, all right? It hit a high yesterday at $73 a share.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of opportunities, but you had to be on top of it, and you had to see that we were going to get to legalization. I think that's what the driver is right now, and the question becomes, will you get the volume of sales to justify a $73 stock?
And one of the things that, and I got Canopy, by the way, when it was 10 or 12.
Yeah, so you're deep
and
into dough.
I wrote it
right
to the late 60s
right.
And then sold some of it, and I've kept some of it. That's one of my few success stories.
Yeah, that's good.
That was a great one.
That's a great one. A six bagger? Come on.
But what most people didn't realize in the early days is they didn't understand that there was a pharmaceutical aspect to it, and that, you know, licensed producers were going to be producing not just bud, flower, and shatter. They were going to be producing material for the cannabinoid market.
Yeah, for the pharmaceutical.
For the pharmaceutical
for the
market.
Medical market.
Yes.
And that was the original licensing, wasn't it? When you go back, you know, most of the producers were for medical marijuana. Not for recreational, not to get high.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, no, medical marijuana gets you high, but it gets you high with a prescription. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah,
I thought
brother.
There was a separate category.
No.
This only does that, doesn't do this.
No, medical marijuana, because I tried to get a license. And my buddy, I have a friend that has a medical marijuana prescriptive license, and he basically, it's you're allowed to buy top grade, government sanctioned super buds.
Yeah, with the get highs.
To get highs, yeah, baby.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I like the way you put that. The get highs.
Well, that's what it is.
I call them the get very highs. Because I'll tell you.
So that's the premium.
That's the premium.
Premium leaf.
So that was how people saw this initially. And it's quickly turned into a whole, you know, I've been to two separate conventions for the industry.
Yeah. And it's an industry.
It is an industry. There's every aspect to it, from people that are building out these storefronts to people that are selling at-home hydroponic kits to every other aspect of it.
Well, you're allowed as an adult to grow four plants. Now, I don't know enough about the horticulture around it, but, you know, if you were to look, I think I saw that a plant could produce somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 9 ounces a couple of times a year. Well, you know, that looks like enough for most people.
And I'll tell you this, having sampled, you know, when you used to make your own wine.
Yeah.
Which was very good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not everyone, it's hit and miss with a lot of at-home wine producers.
Yeah.
But one thing about at-home marijuana production, it's all hit.
But, you know, it's
all going to get you high.
Yeah, well, that's what they've said about marijuana as opposed to alcohol. You can have a drink and not get drunk. You really can't take a hit on the get highs without getting high.
That's why I was with a young woman a few years ago. She goes, "I don't think I'm getting high." I go, "You don't have no choice. It's not."
It'll be imposed upon you.
I said, "The medicine's in your body now."
Right. Yeah. You will be assimilated.
So I said to her, she goes, "I don't think I'm getting high." I go, "Well, really, it's not up to you." Anyway, let's take a quick break here. We're going to talk to Ashley from Strain Print and find out what they're doing ahead of legalization, which begins at midnight tonight across this great land. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Love to
walk right up and bite me, grab a hold of me and fight me, leave me dying on the ground. And I want love to spit my mouth wide open and
connect with Humble and Fred anytime at 833-HF-STINK. That's 833-437-8465.
Humble and Fred Radio!
Canada's National Morning Show.
All right, here we go. Let's have some music, Phil. Uh-oh. Seamless. That's what this operation is.
So close.
So close to me. You know, I've been doing this job for a very long time. And I'm kind of resigned to the fact that this is as good as I can be. I'm not getting any better. I'm only getting worse. Lou Skies is filling in for Fred, and we're excited to talk. You know, we've begun the conversation a few minutes ago talking about different aspects of marijuana legalization, and I've been calling the revolution, as I say. The revolution isn't in the idea that you'll be finally able to procure marijuana. Like, where would we get it before? When Lou and I were younger men, I mean, it was always such a sketchy operation. Be like, hey, you got to meet this guy underneath the gardener at midnight, and you know, and then you had to like smoke weed with him. It was, it wasn't a
transaction. It was a lifestyle.
Exactly. And anyway, the revolution really is in all the other aspects of marijuana products. And with us now, making a return visit to the program from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I believe that's where you're from, isn't it, Ashley?
Oh, it sure is. Okay, born and bred.
Ashley Brown is the community manager and patient liaison director at Strain Print. Ashley, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back, especially on Legalization Eve.
Yes.
It's an important day.
It is Legalization Eve, and I know myself, I've done all my marijuana shopping. All my decorations are up, and I've made little presents for all my friends. But Ashley, the reason Strain Print has been so successful and is only going to get more successful is the idea that there are so many other aspects to marijuana use that are not just about getting high, they're about getting well.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening is we're using information to kind of broaden people's perspective and change the conversation around cannabis.
Okay, and how has that changed?
Well, I mean, being a data and analytics company, not only do we have the users coming together to, you know, share now over 1 million points of data about how they use cannabis and what works and what doesn't for them, we also are able to see a need for a broader conversation around that data. So we start with the facts and then we bring in the feelings, basically.
You know, if some of our listeners have yet to go to the Strain Print website or download the app on Google Play or iTunes. Kind of walk us through the experience. Like, I've often said, you know, if you're suffering from insomnia, there's a strain for that. If you're suffering from joint inflammation, there's a strain for that. So give us a sense of how people are using Strain Print and how the interactivity between the community and the people that are looking to be part of it. How does that all shake out in terms of analytics?
Well, it's a really user-friendly app. So when people are just starting out using cannabis, now they're going to be able to go to the OCS website. They're going to be able to purchase their stuff, and they're going to see strain names like, you know, Super Silver Haze or, you know, Purple Train Wreck or what have you, and a bunch of ones that we can't say on air because you have to bleep me, I'm sure. And that's the starting point. So once they have that strain, they may be saying, well, I'm using it for insomnia. They're able to track that by, you know, monitoring it. The app checks in with you, you know, 6 to 8 hours later, depending on how you sleep. And then you're able to see a pattern over time of how is Purple Train Wreck working for insomnia? Is it the right strain for you? How effective is it at treating that symptom? So not only do you have your personal journey kind of mapped out, you're also kind of playing accountability and educating yourself as to what's working and what's not. Once we have that in place, you're able to see what other people are also using through our Explore section. And maybe the next time you log on to the OCS website or visit a storefront, you're going to be able to make a different decision. Because we're all so new at this, having that data in place and being armed with it when you're making your decision shopping now is going to be a really powerful decision tool for people.
Ashley Brown, community liaison. I shouldn't even try. Community manager and patient liaison. I had it on a different page. You know what it's analogous to? If you're into wine and you go to the LCBO or wherever you buy wine and you've got an app with you that rates wine or pairs wine, let's say you're having fish and you're like looking at the list of wines that go with that, Strain Print is kind of like that when it comes to, you know, relief and symptoms. And would that be a fair analogy?
I think that's a great analogy.
Thank you, Ashley.
It's your personal cannabis sommelier, right?
That's it.
It's allowing you to really dial into what you want to feel, what you want to experience, and giving you that option. And we're so excited because today is obviously not only legalization eve, but it's a really special day for the Strain Print team, and we feel for all our users and for Canada because we are launching a new platform.
Well, yeah, why don't you tell us, and in a second, my co-host today, Lou Skeezes, is going to have a question for you. But tell us about today's launch and how that's going to affect marijuana and marijuana users when it comes to Strain Print.
So we are obviously anticipating that with legalization tomorrow, people are going to have more questions than ever, and more people are going to have questions. We really saw a need to embrace not only what strains work for people, but allow them to have conversations about what they're using and how they're using it. And there didn't really seem to be a space to do that. So knowing we have all these passionate users and knowing how much they like to engage and the process of cannabis being pretty bewildering for people just starting out, even people who are experienced, as you said, that guy that you're meeting on the street corner isn't necessarily going to tell you what terpenes are in this particular bag of dank nugs you're buying. So
yes.
Now people have all this information. They need a space to come together where they can learn, engage, and support each other.
Lou Skeezes, say hi to Ashley Brown.
Hi, Ashley. You know, I really like what you're doing, you know, providing an evidence-based outcome for people that are looking for a solution to some condition that, you know, they're not comfortable with, whether it's pain or what have you, sleep deprivation and what have you. So when people register with you, they're able to give their input that will go into your bigger data set. Am I correct?
That's right. So they're going to be able to choose from any one of 350 conditions or multiple conditions or symptoms that they're treating. And then they're able to submit that data anonymously and contribute to larger things like research studies and also informing decisions on what's grown, how it's grown, and what people are really using for different symptoms. So they're participating. They become something that's greater than the sum of its parts.
So the trial, you know, if they're going into different kinds of trials to get through the FDA and what have you, that's going to be able to be using your data to help them make decisions on how to go through the trials?
We have already seen some peer-reviewed research studies that are using strain print data for that exact reason. Because one of the biggest problems, you know, we have as we legalize is that this is something that hasn't really been studied. So the argument and challenge that a lot of healthcare practitioners have and the general public is that we just don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And in this case, strain print does know what we do know, and that's that we have a lot of data that's showing some really significant patterns. And we want to be able to inform research and work alongside researchers and healthcare practitioners to make those clinical trials happen and to kind of be the jumping off point and the stimulus point for getting some of those larger conversations around the science of cannabis going.
And that's really the point I was sort of making with Lou before we got you on the phone is that it's, you know, I know it's going to be a lot of giggling and joking around about legalization and, oh, good, we now we can buy weed legally. I think, and you've made this point even better, that as we go and grow this and it becomes commonplace in Canada, we don't even know the various, you know, wins out there for people in terms of cannabis. Now that it's legal and you're going to get licensed producers and people like Strain Print, you know, expanding the conversation so that as the population ages, we're not using pharmaceutical, you know, based, you know, as we were just joking with Lou before you got on the phone, Ashley, you know, you read a list of side effects, whereas with marijuana, the side effects are just awesome.
The side effects are Doritos.
Yes, the side effects are my fingers are covered with cheesies. Ashley, so once again, today's a big day, the day before legalization. Any final thoughts for people other than just telling them to go to strainprint.ca, get started, and start tracking your symptoms and see which strains and methods are best for you?
Yes, please come and join us. And we are opening the doors today to our community as well. So if you're not yet tracking and you're not yet using the app, you're also going to have the opportunity now to have a conversation with thousands of other Canadians and eventually the world around this in our new Strain Print community. So even if you're just on the tip of starting to use cannabis for wellness or medicine, we have a space for you where you're going to be able to have those conversations with others just like you.
Well, listen, we certainly appreciate it. How are things? Now, we've had such a great fall here in Ontario. I know the rest of the country already hates us, but what's Winnipeg been like this fall?
That's a very loaded question. I think you just answered it. I think we're all envious of the East. We haven't really had a fall. We fell into winter, basically. So
yeah.
That's not something. I'm currently in Toronto because obviously I'm here celebrating with my Strain Print team. But I'm not necessarily looking forward to going back to what I'm sure is a premature visit by old man winter.
Well, I'll tell you, Ashley, we've had such great weather here in the city. This is actually the first day I think it's going to be more like the fall temperatures we're used to, kind of like 10 and 11 and 12 degrees. But listen, Winnipeg's a great place. Lovely people. You're evidence of that. My people are from there. You know, the last time we talked, Ashley, I mentioned I'd spent my youth going to Clear Lake and hanging out on Pritchard Avenue, so I'm very Winnipeg-friendly.
Yes, we inoculated you.
That's right.
Wooed you with our charms and our rye bread and our golden boy.
Exactly. Listen, Ashley, good luck today. Jessica from Strain Print's going to be with us tomorrow as we have a whole morning of marijuana discussion, people, and some licensed producers, and Strain Print is going to be part of that. Thanks, Ashley. Enjoy your day.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day, and happy legalization.
Happy legalization. There's Ashley Brown.
Woo!
Wow. There you go. If you go to the Strain Print app and or website, it really is something, because she mentioned a couple of strains. Like when we were younger, I don't know if you kids understand, there was just this thing called weed.
Right.
I didn't know from an indica or a sativa. She mentioned something called terpenes.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Well, you know what it is? It's like when you talk to somebody that's into red wine and they start talking about tannins.
Yeah.
It's a similar, you know, it's funny.
It's a component.
It's a component. It's funny because, you know, I've been jokingly telling my friends for the last couple of years as I'm going through my weed renaissance that I've become a bit of a sommelier.
Very
nice. You know,
nice.
Because I know that I know the effects of indica and how they are different from sativa, mm-hmm. but then you start to get into the subcategories and how there's higher THC, lower CBD. Let's say you're not looking for a psychotropic effect, but you're looking for a body effect.
You know, it sounds, Howard, like you could be the ideal marijuana critic for one of the local newspapers. You know, in Denver, where they legalized marijuana, I think, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Denver Post actually hired a marijuana critic to help their readers better understand the industry and what's available.
Well, I appreciate that confidence. That's why I'm on the cover of High Canada magazine, because I came out quite clearly that I use it. It's been better, way better for me than drinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, your aches and pains. I mean,
exactly.
For how many years over, you know, your golf pain and aches? Oh.
You know, so instead of taking a million Advil, you know, you take a little bit of CBD oil. And the thing about Strain Print is it's not just for your maladies. It's also for the experience you're looking for. You know, Fred and I talked about this yesterday that, you know, some people, some older folks like us, were scared away a little bit by marijuana because when we were younger, it was pretty
illegal.
Well, yes, it was.
You know, I mean, let's face it, there's a liability that goes with that, right? You're a Supreme Court justice, and, you know, you're getting popped for pot. You know, it's gonna show up like a bad thing.
I'm only laughing because that was, like, really, was it illegal? That was never my barrier.
No.
But the point is, that, you know, for a lot of us when we were younger, you know, the weed wasn't very good. And, you know, you needed a lot of it to get a little bit high. And then, you know, Fred mentioned that every time he had tried it as a grown-up, it made him very paranoid.
And I think we need more of that.
Well, but I'm saying other people have shied away from it because they've had what they thought were bad experiences. And, yes, mm-hmm. the strains are much stronger now.
Oh, yes.
You know, I haven't had, you know, used to be we'd all, you know, when I was younger in my 20s, everyone would have their own joint. It was the size of a baguette. You needed somebody to spot you while you were smoking it, and you barely got high. Mm-hmm. Then I would meet these kids in Brampton. I'm at this weed club. I take a hit of Shatter. I went blind in my left eye for 3 hours.
You see, that's almost like anal leakage right
there. It's just
there.
Like for me, right?
I'm going to lose my vision. It's like, no.
You know, I remember the first time I did that, I was like, am I losing my vision? Is this what's happening? So the thing about Strain Print, or the idea of becoming more educated, mm-hmm. is I always recommend to my older friends, I always say, here's a little indica. It won't get your head all buzzy, but it will take away inflammation. Your body feels better. And, you know, as we swan into our late 60s and 70s and beyond, you know, a lot of older people start to hit the bottle because what the hell, right?
Right.
But I see a generation becoming a little bit, you know, medicated because it's not a bad way to spend the day.
So let me tell you some of my theories around legalization.
I would love to hear that.
So,
and then, Phil, get ready. We're going to gig Sky, okay?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, when I saw the advent of legalization, I saw a couple of trends, as you've mentioned, the aging population. And some of that population had a certain experience in their youth with the product. And I also, because of my career in finance, I know that the majority of baby boomers don't have enough money to retire. And so what do you do with people with no money? You pacify them. So it doesn't seem so bad. That's why it's legalized. Not for the youth market. It's for this generation that just needs to be pacified.
Just let us buzz into the...
I'm telling you.
Get buzzy into the our later years.
You don't need much more if you're already,
you're taking
a trip without leaving the farm, right?
Listen, man, mm-hmm. if all I can afford is a little bit of Bubba Kush and Netflix, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good for the last 25 years. So, Charlie Spencer, what is your father up to these days? Not much. He wakes and bakes.
He's quivering blob of protoplasm.
That's right. He just sits in his chair eating spits. And watching Big Mouth.
But, you know, it'd be the same thing, sitting on the porch, eating spits and drinking beer.
And I can tell you from, well, it's been, I think, I'm almost up to 3 years. 33 months without alcohol.
Right.
And not that I'm not saying you should substitute marijuana, but I'm going through this sort of refamiliarization with the product, and I can tell you it. You know, it's been good for me, and I can, and I'm not just talking about from a fact of getting high, just feeling your body better, taking some of the inflammation down. And there's so many symptoms that, you know, cannabinoids and the CBDs, all that stuff outside of the psychotropic effect.
Well, you know, some of the research that I read, Howard, if we have time,
yeah, man.
You know, indicates that apparently some effects of marijuana induce a greater libido activity, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, the jiggy-jiggy is supported.
They're getting jiggy with it.
Yeah.
The jiggy-jiggy.
You know what I'm saying, right?
I don't know. How does this guy not have a regular radio gig? Come on.
Well, I'm here with you.
I know.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be regular, but it's fun. And that's really what drives me.
Let's talk a little bit about Gig Sky, Phil, the wonder company that is changing hearts and minds around the world with their amazing data plan.
Absolutely. We know we've been talking about lower prices on Gig Sky plans. We've been talking about how easy it is to put the Gig Sky SIM on your phone. Don't forget, humbleandfredradio.com. Click on the Gig Sky banner. Order a free SIM for your travels. And you know what? The thing about it is, I want to talk about the ease of buying data. Because the thing is, when people think of SIM cards and cell phone companies, there's a lot of setup involved with that. But with Gig Sky, download their app. Because the way you buy your data, you just go into their app. It'll ask you if you want to buy any data based on your SIM. And it'll give you a price plan right in front of you.
And your mommy's using it right now. Yes. She was in Cambodia
with
your wife.
She's on the Cambodia 15-day plan, 300 megabytes, which is enough for a 62-year-old.
And then Pearl and Mummy went to Vietnam, and the plan went with them.
They had the Vietnam Asia-Pacific plan.
There you go.
And I ordered all of it from Canada on the Gig Sky app.
God. So
did you put it on your credit card?
Yes, I did.
What a guy.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
So go to GigSky.com or HumbleAndFredRadio.com for your Gig Sky SIM.
If you're like a lot of small businesses, you don't think you can afford insurance for your company, whether it's five people like we do or 100 people, count on the Chamber Plan. Chamberplan.ca, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. It is the leading group benefit plan for firms under 100 employees. It's simple, stable, and smart. We've pointed out how and why. And these benefits don't need to be confusing. They're affordable. And the idea is, you know, when you're a small business, it's sometimes tough to, you know, recruit employees, to retain employees. They need these simple benefits that the Chamber Plan affords. Chamberplan.ca. All right. We're going to just wrap up the segment here. We'll talk. We're going to talk a lot of weed tomorrow, and then I'm going to be talking weed on that online talk show.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I don't know. There's so many aspects to this. Including, we had spoken of this, investing in companies that are going to try and figure out a way to outfit, you know, police officers with an opportunity to judge your marijuana sobriety.
Yeah. Stay home. That's what I would say. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, do you remember when we went from 0.8 to 0.5 on alcohol?
Well,
that
points,
was some
no,
years ago,
yeah,
right?
0.08 is the limit. It's 0.05 is when they start to...
That's
I think it's still
they,
0.08,
they,
though. It's your legal limit for alcohol,
yeah,
for
know,
driving.
All I know is that when they lowered the tolerance, if you will, in terms of the testing,
mm-hmm.
that's
right.
when I said... Only consume this product at home and don't plan to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I got two speeding tickets, Howard, you know, in speed traps. And my insurance is, like, double. All because I got caught in two. And I can't imagine what kind of penalties you would pay. So, you know, if you're going to, you know, consume this product, mm-hmm. you may want to think about the implications of being behind the wheel.
It's funny. I just Googled this. I didn't realize, in at least in the States, there are certain states that lower the legal blood alcohol
right.
consumption level while driving from 0.08 to 0.05.
Right. That's
Did we do
I
that in Canada?
Up.
It's 0.05 in Ontario for learner's permits. So
but
if you're on
It's in Ontario, it's still 0.08.
Yes.
Well, the point of Lou's making is a good one. Stay at home. But when it comes to judging your ability to drive impairment ability with marijuana, I think it's a, I don't know, it's a different scale. Mm. But they can only go, they've only got alcohol as a comparative.
Yeah, there's that, but there's also the fact that there is an established legal community ready, you know, to make arguments that, you know, are the devices accurate? Does this really reflect their abilities behind the wheel? Is this just a you know, a miscarriage of justice and so on and so on? And I think that's where, you know, you're going to end up. And I would advise, you know, think about it if you're going to leave the house, you know, other than walking, you know, stumbling or whatever you're going to do. For if you're into the marijuana for the get highs, not the medical side of the game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Listen. All I can tell you, and I'm just going to be honest, you would definitely want to get behind a stoned driver than a drunk driver.
Oh, no, yeah, because
the stoned driver's being very careful.
Yeah, well, always, right? Always, because the paranoia that you were,
exactly.
The paranoia that you were suggesting Fred had exhibited.
Whatever. All I know is, you know, it's like being inside a video game.
I'm not driving high, Sean. You're driving high.
Right. I got invited to a scotch tasting.
Okay, well, we just take a break. Yeah. We're going to tell that story when we come back.
Yeah.
Scotch tasting story as well. So much more. We're going to talk about how Trump owes somebody $1 million. And
Elizabeth Warren,
that's right. And talk a little bit about you were telling a story about your daughter trying to, you know, barter a dog. But let's talk a little bit about how talented that child of yours is. It's Humble and Fred Radio, live this morning, streaming on the iHeart Radio app.
But the way to feel is fine. So don't treat me like a puppet on a string.
Can you do anything else?
The legendary Humble and Fred Show. Humble and Fred Radio.
Welcome back. If you're a fan of the John Mulaney, Nick Kroll show, Big Mouth, it's an animated series that's done a couple seasons on Netflix. This part you won't recognize, but it's the theme. It's about a bunch of kids going through puberty. It is really...
Been there.
Yeah, I know. You and I are going, whatever we're going through now. But it's really funny. Both of my kids recommended it to me, and because of some of my medications, I'd forgotten. They told me about it in the spring, and I was with the girls a couple nights ago, and they said, Daddy, you got to see season two of Changes. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Then I went home, and I'd seen that I'd seen four episodes of it anyway. But here we go. We're all going through some changes. When Lou Skeezus is filling in this morning for Freddie. I knew Lou before I ever met Fred. I'd been friends with Lou for years. I was doing a radio show and a kids' TV show when I first met you.
That's right.
And I was on television there in Alberta for a couple years. I was hosting a show for kids probably up to about 14. It was kind of like Letterman for little people. And one of my favorite memories... So Lou and I, Lou was also, you were friends with my older brother, Dave.
Right, Big Dave.
Big Dave. So there was Big Dave and Lou and I and Dan Duran and I, we were all, I was leaving Calgary after being there for 4 or 5 years and I was a local, I was a local, I don't know, I was locally known, we'll say. I was locally well known. And so for years, you know, people would say, hey, not that I'm a big strip club guy. But I was something I never would do because I was on television all the time and I just didn't want to be, you know, recognized in a strip club.
Associated.
And so after I quit my radio job and I quit this TV show and I was doing stand-up, Big Dave and Lou and I and Dan went to a strip club.
I don't know how that decision was made. Yeah. It wasn't me. I wasn't motivated. I think it was Dave that was motivated.
It was my brother, probably.
Yeah, he was motivated.
Hey, it was our going away. Let's go to a strip club. And don't you know... I was in a position where, Phil, have you ever been to a strip club?
Yes, is there a women in the strip club?
That's
of course.
Right. And one of the things that you can do in these establishments is put some money in your mouth, and they will take it from your mouth.
Using their body parts, their hands.
Exactly.
So yeah, we call it facing off in Alberta.
I don't know what you people call it. All I know is... just after the money was taken from my mouth, everyone cheered me, and I stood up, and some guy goes, "Humble, my kid loves you." I was like, this is why I don't come to these places.
You know, funny that you would relate that story, because we had discussed it in your prior manifestation with the Humble and Fred show here in Toronto, and I was on Report on Business Television, and I had to go into the general manager's office because we were yucking it up about the face-off. And, you know those meetings where you don't get a speaking part except, "I'm sorry"?
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
You had to apologize for that?
Well, I realized that's the only script that was going to work.
Right.
Because somehow they were offended.
Well, you know, that was a tough time for
all of us. Well, I don't know if it was tough, you know, but you know what I'm saying.
I know
right?
what you're it's talking like, about now, too. I just remember the guy you worked for.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it was just like, holy cow, right? I didn't say anything other than face off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have euphemisms to get us out of these kind of descriptives.
We worked around it. And now here we are. So Lou and I have known each other a long time and, you know, through our marriage and that, not to each other, but marriages. We got married and we had kids. And Lou's known my daughter since they were born. I've known...
lovely children.
Mentioned when you were here last week, I took the first picture of your daughter.
Thank you.
And
I was sleeping.
Yeah, a couple days ago, I got a message from Lou. It's a Vimeo video of Madeline, Lou's daughter, who we talked about earlier in the show. She was negotiating with Papa for a pet. And... and you sent me this video of Madeline. Maybe you can pick it up. Like, Maddie's been skating
since she was 3.
And now she's 15. And so I start this video, and I don't think I've seen her in a few years since I left Oakville. But the first thing I'm struck by is, who's this grown-up human woman?
Yeah.
And then I'm not equipped to judge skating, but you can tell when somebody's excellent at something. Mm-hmm. And I watched her program, and it was... I mean, it's... even as a layperson, it's pretty stunning how accomplished she is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes from 35 hours a week of on and off ice training and, you know, just a lot of focus and dedication to that pursuit. So Madeline, you know, at the age of 3, said to me, "Daddy, I want to go figure skating or ice skating." And the only thing that ran through my mind is, oh my God, I'm going to have to get my lard butt off of this couch and onto a pair of skates and pray God I don't fall on it.
Well, just let me interject. I remember now having been at a few of her birthday parties.
Right, on the ice.
That were skating themed.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, she wanted to do it, and I said, well, I cannot allow my own lethargy to hold her back from her passion center. And, you know, for me, it was really about, and we had been through a bunch of other things she wanted to try up to that point. Like, I was proudly showing my friend Wade Rutherford, he's looking in my garage. I said, yeah, you see those snowshoes? That Madeline wanted to do it, but only for one day.
That's yeah. Right.
Too cold, too windy, too uncomfortable. No, Daddy, get rid of those. So we go skating, and she really takes to it. And I said, well, she's found her passion center. And for me, as a father of a daughter, you know, when she was born, I said to myself, could I ever find a convent that she would accept?
That's right.
You know, one where she would be, you know, removed from all the negative influences of the universe. And I went to my first skating banquet with her skating club, and I looked around, and there were all these young girls just into skating and into their thing. I said, I have found that convent. right? They're so focused on their pursuit of their passion. They don't have time for anybody else. So I call it the convent of the sacred skate that has
of
given...
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Of course you do.
Because it keeps her on the fairway. She doesn't have time for anything else.
Well, and when you say 35 hours a week, I remember a conversation you and I had a couple years ago. We were having lunch in Oakville. I think in the time since I moved here, so within the last couple and a half years... And I remember you explaining that she had changed schools.
Yeah.
She had, there's family sacrifices when somebody is as passionate about a singular thing, and whether it's hockey, golf,
matter.
Skating,
music, math, robotics, all of it.
So when you were explaining at the time a couple years ago that you guys had to change schools and it was another wrinkle in the family dynamic, and then I see this skating program that you sent me and you think, wow, you know, here's somebody that has been going after this for many, many years, and the result is, you know, a level of excellence that you only get when you sacrifice.
You realize that, you know, at one time, I was the best skater in the family.
So I have this question around, now, so we've established that she's amazing. You know, I just saw a note.
Third in Canada. She's ranked third, you know, on their metrics, right, the scoring system and the competition. She's ranked third in terms of the metrics right now.
For
as a
her
junior,
age group?
As a junior.
So what is, and what is, that's what I want to understand. So what is that, under 18, under 16?
No, it's not. It's about ability. So you can move from pre-novice to novice to junior to senior. But the expectation is if you're moving from novice to junior, you're going to have this many jumps, this many spins,
right,
and you're going to be competitive.
Yeah, and by the way, Phil, I'm going to show you the video after the show, but like she's not only poised and rhythm and all that dancing stuff that skating encompasses, mm-hmm, but she makes some. There's several jumps in it.
Yeah,
in
fact, triple jumps. Yeah,
the first triple jump she does, I'm like, what? What is happening
yeah,
here?
Yeah.
So when she
now
say,
I didn't teach her any of that.
Yeah. When you tell me that she's ranked third in Canada for
at
that
this point.
At this point. My other question when I was watching it is I go, okay, she's 15 now. What is the goal?
The trajectory?
Yeah, where does she go?
Well, my goal is that my daughter continues to pursue her passion, right? So as a parent, I don't have to tell you. All you really want is your kid to grab onto something and say, you know what? I love this and will do whatever is required to be successful.
Sure.
Because that's what you need throughout life. So for me, just having her pursue it, what her own goal is, she hasn't articulated to me, but she wants to go to nationals, right? So oh, yeah, she's going to compete at the Skate Canada Challenge in Edmonton. And if she does well there, she can go to nationals. Last year, she ended up sixth as a novice skater in Canada. Sixth, and
wow,
she wants to get to the podium. And I'm saying, you know what? Get at it.
Well,
get at it and make it happen.
You know, the nice thing about having spent a childhood pursuing a singular passion.
Yeah, you with golf.
Well, no, I was going to say in her case, what I love about that is even if in, you know, 5 years or some at some point, even if she moves on from skating, what it does for her, and I say this for anybody, what it shows her is that if you put an amount of... It's a discipline thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a discipline to success. And, you know, I have a level of success as an amateur golfer. But, you know, I love working on it. I love working on my game because it's my passion.
Right.
I don't see it as hours spent... You know,
drudgery.
I love it.
Right.
I could do it all day.
Right. And you have in some occasions.
I said to girlfriend Rachel, I was just hitting balls one day and she was playing along with me. And I said, you know, the fact that you're enjoying this makes it great for me because I could never leave.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
so the thing about Maddie is that she has the experience now of knowing that if you work hard at something, and what it takes to work hard to be good, it's not everyone's experience.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I think that you know, for at least in my case, you know, I got used to the idea that she would try things and maybe hold on to one or just ditch it like the snowshoes from hell. Right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, all kids go through that, you know. I want to be a singer, and I want
to
be.
Yeah, but you got to help them get there. Yeah, but maybe they don't. Maybe that's not the thing.
Exactly.
Right? And you got to be willing to, you know, hit the eject button and plug in another tape.
Well, congratulations.
Do we save tapes anymore?
I don't know. Yeah. congratulations to you and your lovely missus and the family. And
well, you know, yeah, a lot of commitment from everybody.
Someone just texted us 10 thumbs up and a nice surprise to hear Lou on with you this morning. Happy pot capitalism. That's from Rick C. in Oakville. Someone else just texted us Ed L. from Keswick. A BAC level between 0.05 and 0.08 is you are not allowed to drive. No ticket.
Oh, okay.
Above 0.08 is a ticket with a minimum of 30 days no driving, I believe. I'm sorry, that's Michael from Keswick, not L.
Because
it was on two texts, Phil.
Right, because he gave us two texts.
He gave us two texts.
You know, up in Keswick.
All right, so very good. Great reaction to the skis man. Who Lou and I met in Calgary. Judy McKinnon, one of our friends from out west, I believe. She says, Calgary, nothing bad lasts long for Alberta, except Trudeau. Have a great week. P.S. I live between Alberta and B.C. B.C. is wacky, she says. Socialism thrives. Alberta, probably the nicest people in Canada. She mentions that winters are best in Palm Springs. Calgary is finally starting to get some weather. You know, the whole month of September and early October in Calgary has been a...
half of January.
Well, it's basically ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now Calgary is starting to get some temperatures, 14, 16, 20. And I feel good. My older brother still out there slugging away in Calgary. Calgary.
Hey, it's a great town, except for the Arctic conditions that can, you know, befall upon you.
Yeah, for you people in Eastern Canada that have never experienced a Chinook, though, that is something.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of days Lou and I would go to work. You know, we'd be at work in the early morning. It would be minus 25. And by the time the show was over, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, it's plus 15.
Right. You had your golf clubs out.
And it's mind blowing. And you see that arc. They call it a Chinook arc. And it's like, imagine the Sky Dome or whatever they call it, Rogers Center. The dome opens and you can see it coming.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the sky has this arch to it. Mm-hmm. As the warm wind blows this Arctic frost away.
Yeah, no, it's a unique place on the planet, and you know, I encourage people to go and visit. You know, great skiing in Alberta if you're into skiing, but I always recommend don't ski in the winter. Go in the spring. They'll ski in the Rockies till like May.
Yeah, man.
You know, so you can avoid the worst of the winter and just, you know, t-shirts, shorts, you know.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I also just remembered that you had your mom, your mother, who enjoyed skiing. I remember skiing with her, like, this is like on the...
Years and years ago.
But like on, I'm talking like pretty advanced runs.
Yeah.
And she was really into it.
She was into it, you know. She's, sadly, she's suffering from dementia. And,
well, no one gets out without something.
Yeah, no, that's right, Howard.
Phil, can you tell us a little bit about this amazing company, the website FYI Music News? Maybe you'll tell us something that you know about this. Let me give you some music there. There we go. Here we go. There you go, Phil.
There you go. FYIMusicNews.ca is your Canadian source when it comes to Canadian music and music headlines. You know, the Western Canadian Music Awards in Kelowna was this weekend. You'll get to have an in-depth look at that on FYIMusicNews.ca. As well, Michael Bublé is retiring, but according to an article...
He's not.
According to an article, his manager's saying this is bull. This is not the case. Of course, there's also today's new track, and every day you get a new track. Today is David Ward, Looking Glasses. On FYI News, FYINews.ca, FYIMusicNews.ca.
All right, Philly.
Yeah.
Donald Trump says he never said I was going to give Elizabeth Warren $1 million if she produced some DNA that confirmed that she had some Native American in her background. But it doesn't matter. She apparently had her ancestry done by, like, one of the leading experts in DNA discovery.
23, whatever.
Yeah, he consults 23andMe, Ancestry.com. But that is not good enough for Donald Trump. The funny thing about Trump, though, is he's great. Because he said, oh, I never said that. Meanwhile, you can Google a million clips of him saying, I'll give Elizabeth Warren $1 million. What's your take?
Well, you know, I think that if we checked all of our genetics, we would probably find that, you know, we have surprising heritage.
Yes.
And, you know, I was talking to my buddy Louis Rondo, who lives up in Fort McMurray, Alberta.
Sure, Louis Rondo. Right. A shout out this morning.
Yeah, big bad Louis, right? And he's working with an indigenous character, trying to get contracts from Suncor and all that. And I said, well, you know, Louis, it would probably be worthwhile checking your genetic material to see if you can up your quota.
Yeah.
Right? To say, hey, it's not just 51% indigenous ownership. It could be higher. I said, you know, I don't know what it costs to do that, but, you know, maybe we should all just check that out.
Well, I know.
Given the benefits.
Sure. I mean, I don't mean maybe you guys, but if I do my ancestry, it says Jews, more Jews.
You never
Jews,
know.
23 Jews and me. But I just love the fact that, you know, it's one thing to tell a fib, hoping that it can't be verified by the person you're lying to.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing about Trump is he doesn't care.
That's right.
He doesn't even care. He must know somewhere in his head that you could verify he said it.
But he's not embarrassed.
He's not embarrassed.
He's not embarrassed by any of it. And that's why
that's a unique characteristic.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, my dad taught me. He says, you know, if you're not embarrassed by some of the things you do, you can carry on.
Yeah.
Stop being embarrassed. You're too old to be embarrassed, right?
Yeah, it's like that show Big Mouth. One of the things that visits upon these children beside the hormone monster is the shame wizard.
Oh.
And it's their first experience in puberty of feeling shameful about their behavior. That shame wizard has never visited the Trump household.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there he is yesterday going, well, I didn't say that, but I mean, maybe I don't trust
the science.
The science.
Yeah.
And then he says the creepy sentence, maybe I should get her DNA myself, not knowing what everyone was going to go, yeah, but Donald, I mean, you're the president. You really shouldn't be collecting DNA from
people.
Senator Warren. I mean,
yeah.
When I
saw that bit with Elizabeth Warren,
yeah.
With the doctor. Right. So
yeah.
She was on and they were split screen and, you know, and they were doing it like a reality TV thing. Hello, doctor. Are you there? Yes, Elizabeth. It's hey, come on. Come on. I've seen a setup in my day.
Yeah, but the whole thing is a reality TV show.
It
now.
Is.
Every once in a while, I'll wake up from a slumber and think, okay, is the guy from The Apprentice really in charge? Is
that
what's happened?
Howard, think about it in the way I look at it. Tax cut. And another one on the way. Economy's growing. Unemployment is low. These are the things that really matter to me. I don't know about you.
Well,
you know, he's a thick-fingered vulgarian, as they say. You know, but I'm not offended by that. I've seen so many clowns populating the stage of public space.
What did you used to? I used to quote your friend. They're just like pigs at a trough. And if you don't think just because your pig, you know, has got nice hair, doesn't mean that he's not a pig at a trough or she. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, if you look historically, you know, not everyone. And I say this to my kids because everything is, you know,
idealistic.
I say, listen, girls. You know, just because you believe a certain ideology doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that everything that comes out of that ideology is the righteous one.
Yeah, there's that. And there's also the fact, Howard, that, you know, if you look at the history of mankind, corruption has been with us since the beginning of this species. Okay, I just finished reading the biography of Cornelius Vanderbilt, Commodore Vanderbilt, talking about the 1820s, 30s, 40s, 50s, through the Civil War and all that. And,
messy.
You know, it was all about Greece, man. The only way you're going to get anything done in the United States in that period of time was to grease the wheel.
Exactly.
And it hasn't changed.
I know.
So don't be offended, you know, just because, you know, the...
dim-witted nitwit.
Yeah, just another
charge.
One.
He's just another one.
Just another one.
I know.
When was the last time you could look at a politician and say to yourself, now, there's a statesman. There's somebody, you know, that I can believe in. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. You know, even even you go back to the Kennedy White House, you know, people look back and the wonder that was Camelot, but you know,
it was all spin.
There was, you know, I have
hot and cold Russian cocktail waitresses through the White House.
BIMs everywhere you look.
How about Bill Clinton?
Oh, you know, please.
Making the world safe for the interns, right?
Oh my God.
Playing a saxophone.
Yeah, that's why, again, I mean, Trump is a whole other level of bizarre behavior, but you know, no, there's been a lot of it.
Well, you know, I recall when we were, if we have time.
We have a minute left.
Okay, so we lived in Alberta during the years of Ralph Klein.
Ralph Klein,
say what you will about his drinking habits. Okay, he got the net debt down to zero in the province of Alberta. Why? Because he had a big stick and he beat those hogs out of the trough.
Lou Skeezes at Lou Skeezes on Twitter, LOUSCHIZAS. Thank you for coming in on such short notice.
Oh, pleasure. It's been fun.
Always a pleasure. If anywhere else people can get a hold of you, do you still have a site, or are you just
happycapitalism.com? Send me an email. You can register and do that kind of stuff.
All right, very nice, and we'll hopefully see you again soon. And kids, tomorrow it's the dawn of a new age. The revolution is here. Lots of weed chat with us, and Phil maybe even shotgunning a spearhead.
Happy Cannabismas. This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Paytm, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.